And right now, we want to turn our attention to an important case you all know about, and that's the case of Bradley Manning, who pled guilty to 10 counts of releasing government files to WikiLeaks in a pretrial hearing last week at Fort Meade. And PFC Bradley faces 20 years in prison for the counts he pled guilty to, but there are another dozen counts that he still faces charges on and has pled not guilty to. But we're going to get a fuller picture of what's happening here with the Bradley Manning case, and that's on the line with us right now to help us sort through what happened in that military court is Nathan Fuller, working with the Bradley Manning Support Network. Nathan, thanks for being with us tonight. Whoops. There we go. Bradley, Nathan, thank you so much for joining us here.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me on.
Well, first, tell our listeners about the Bradley Manning Support Network.
Sure. So we are a part of Courage to Resist, a 501c3, and we fund 100% of Bradley's legal defense. And that's based on grassroots donations from people, thousands of people around the world. And in addition to that, we try to raise awareness about his case. A lot of people, unfortunately, still don't know about him. So we have all kinds of events, rallies. We get some advertisements and billboards and things like that, and try to let people know about the case and why they should care about Bradley Manning.
It might be good right now to summarize for our audience what happened at the pretrial hearing at Fort Meade in this military procedure last Thursday. Some important developments in the Bradley Manning case.
Sure. So as you just mentioned, Bradley has offered this guilty plea, but he's made it to the judge. It's not part of an agreement with the government prosecutors. So the government prosecutors are continuing ahead with their 22 counts, and they're seeking life without parole in prison for Manning. But as he's offering his guilty plea, he supplemented that with a 35-page statement to the court, orienting the court with basic facts about his time as an intelligence analyst in Iraq and why he gave documents to WikiLeaks. And it was an incredible statement because he took full responsibility for leaking to WikiLeaks. But at the same time, it's a really a scathing indictment of the way the government has charged him, because he did it with pure motives. He wanted the American people to know about crimes and abuses done in their name, but he only chose documents that he knew as an intelligence analyst would not harm the U.S., documents recording events that had already passed and not those that would, for example, give away sources and methods or other things to come that could put soldiers in danger.
Nathan, maybe you could talk about the very interesting chronology of events that Bradley Manning recounted in the court about his attempt to get this information to various mainstream newspapers in the U.S. before he eventually released those documents to WikiLeaks.
Sure. So Bradley had decided by the time he came back to Maryland during a mid-tour leave. He was first deployed in eastern Baghdad, but then he came back to Maryland when he was on leave, and he had decided he wanted to give it to a news organization. He wanted to give it to a big newspaper so that the American people would see it, and his first choice was the Washington Post. He was staying with his aunt's house in Maryland, and so Washington Post was the biggest paper there, and so he called an editor there or a reporter there, and the woman on the line didn't really seem that interested. She said she'd have to know more about the documents. She could talk to a higher-up editor or something and get back to him, and he didn't really feel the conversation was going anywhere. So then he went to the next big paper that he knew of, and that was the New York Times. And he called the public editor and got a voicemail answering machine, and he left a message leaving his phone number and Skype address, and no one got back to him. Nobody called him back. And so he felt that that these newspapers were not really interested. They didn't really know what he was trying to offer them, and they weren't going to do anything about it. But he had previously understood that WikiLeaks published in full documents chronicling other war crimes and other abuses. And so he, just at a little Barnes & Noble in Maryland, uploaded the Iraq and Afghanistan war logs, hundreds of thousands of pages documenting everyday events in both of those countries that that the U.S. Government did not let us know about before, things such as 15,000 uncounted civilian casualties in Iraq and an official policy to ignore torture and a lot of other things that that we should know about.
One of the things that came up in his court testimony was Bradley Manning's real concern about a video he saw where two Reuters reporters were killed in a U.S. Air attack on what they may have suspected were insurgents, or we really don't know. But tell us a bit about how that particular video affected him, and that was one of the things that he did release to WikiLeaks.
Sure. So that's the video we now know as collateral murder, and that's what WikiLeaks came onto the map with in the United States anyway. And so when Bradley was in Iraq, his unit was watching the video, and it at first seemed pretty regular to him, pretty ordinary, which is pretty sad and pretty unfortunate. But then when he saw that these were innocent people, and furthermore that he was really horrified at what he called the delightful bloodlust of those shooting. He said the medics came and others came to help the wounded, and those gunning them down were begging for them to pick up weapons so they could be justified in shooting them down. And he was really horrified by not only by what happened, but the fact that everyone else who saw it didn't really seem disturbed by it. And he felt like this was the kind of thing that people should know about. He also called the gunship, the U.S. gunners, he said they were like children torturing ants with a magnifying glass. So that really paints a picture.
It does, and I think it's important to note, and tell me if I've got this right, that this video documents the killing of these two Reuters reporters, obviously non-combatants, who had nothing to do with any threat to U.S. military forces or anything like that. And the United States never came forward to talk about their role here, did they, in terms of the killing of these two journalists?
They certainly haven't. And Reuters, the organization, submitted a FOIA request to try to obtain the video so that they could learn more about what happened, not only just to find out if this was an actual war crime, but also so that they can protect their journalists in the future. They don't want to be accidentally entering zones where U.S. gunners think they can just shoot them down. But when they submitted a request, the government didn't even say that they couldn't give it back because it was classified. They just stonewalled them. They didn't give them an answer. And Bradley investigated that and saw that Reuters was not getting what he believed they deserved was accurate account of what happened. And so he had intended to attempt to give the video to Reuters so that they could, for their use. But when he saw that was going to be similarly difficult, and when he saw that WikiLeaks was publishing, WikiLeaks had published another document that he gave them about Iceland, about Iceland being bullied by two European countries. He saw that WikiLeaks had published that within hours. He felt he had to get collateral murder up to WikiLeaks as soon as he could, and that Reuters would be able to see it that way. And so that's what he did.
Nathan, could you review for our audience a bit about the charges that Bradley Manning pled guilty to, which I believe exposes him to 20 years in prison, and there are 12 other charges he pled not guilty to that we can talk about in a moment?
Sure. So he pled guilty to lesser included offenses or lesser offenses than to 10 counts of what the government has charged. So he's not pleading guilty to the exact charges that the government is saying he did, because the government in those charges says that he gave national defense information that was closely held, and that's a much more serious crime. That's 10 years in jail. But these 10 counts, he's pleading to unauthorized possession and willful communication of information to someone not authorized to receive it. And so each of those counts carries a maximum of 2 years, and that's why you get the maximum of 20 years in his guilty plea. And then in what he's pleading not guilty to are the more serious, the major charges, such as the count one of aiding the enemy, by which the U.S. says that he indirectly aided al-Qaeda through WikiLeaks, that he intended to be dealing with the enemy and giving information to WikiLeaks, something they say they would charge the same if he had leaked to the New York Times, which is pretty disturbing. Those major charges also include the Espionage Act, and those carry a maximum of life without parole, since the prosecution's not seeking the death penalty, which they could.
So a court-martial resumes in June, is that correct?
So, yeah, June 3rd we have the court-martial scheduled, and right now that's scheduled to go 12 weeks, although this guilty plea, because the government can use it to prove the first elements of their case, Bradley said that he, you know, put this information onto a CD-ROM and then onto his personal computer. We can save a little time so the government doesn't have to bring out the forensic evidence of what happened, and then we can get to the arguments about why and what the effect was, and the fact that these did not really harm the United States the way that the government says they did.
Is there any indication whether or not the government will pursue these more serious charges of aiding the enemy and the like in the court-martial coming in June?
They have. The judge asked if they would, following the plea, and their only real statement was, given the serious nature of the offenses that they charge, they're going ahead with all 22 counts. So they seemed totally unmoved by Bradley's plea, and are continuing at the 22 accounts seeking life without parole.
So it seems that Bradley Manning may be made an example of to prevent other military soldiers from doing something similar. Is that what your sense of it is?
That's certainly what the government's hoping for. They want to set an example, but they also want to set a legal precedent. This is a brand new territory and unprecedentedly broad interpretation of this aiding the enemy. Just by giving information to a news source, you can be considered to be indirectly passing information to our enemies. But they certainly want to chill dissent and whistleblowing in the U.S. military. They certainly don't want any more Bradley Mannings. And so it'll be up to the judge, though, to see what kind of example exactly they set. Even if he is convicted of aiding the enemy, she has very wide discretion as to his sentence can be between no confinement at all and life in jail without parole. And so it'll come down to the arguments about what did Bradley intend to do, and you know, what was the effect? Did this really cause all the harm that the U.S. Says that it did?
We're speaking tonight on Counterpoint with Nathan Fuller of the Bradley Manning Support Network, and we're talking about some important developments in the case of Bradley Manning before a military court this past week. And what is the defense strategy, if you could share that with us, Nathan, about and how the attorneys working with your organization and Bradley Manning are going to contest these more serious charges that could bring him a life sentence?
Sure. Well, first I want to make it clear I can't speak for the lawyers themselves, and we do fund the lawyers, but we're not affiliated in that we, you know, work together on the day-to-day. We fund them, but the legal strategy is entirely their own. But what we gather is that with this guilty plea and statement, Bradley's able to take responsibility for WikiLeaks releases. It's likely the government already has that forensic evidence, while simultaneously strongly disagreeing with the way the government is charging them to get out this statement and make it clear that his motives were pure. It's important legally because earlier in this court-martial, in an earlier pretrial hearing, the government moved to preclude motive from the merits portion of the trial, meaning that in the court-martial itself, Bradley's legal defense would not be allowed to argue that his good motives were why he did this. That's not going to come into play when they argue his aiding the enemy.
So what does that give the defense team latitude to bring people like Daniel Ellsberg, who blew the whistle on the Pentagon Papers during the Vietnam War era? Are there people that could possibly enter the courtroom that could back Bradley Manning and attest to his motivation?
Well, they would have if the government hadn't brought that motion, but the government moved to preclude motive, to keep motive out of the discussion, and the judge did accept that that motion. So the defense is not going to be able to argue a whistleblower defense, and that's what purpose this statement serves. This statement gets his motive into the public sphere and into the judge's mind before we move to the court-martial, where he has to argue just in a very narrow sense of what he knew at the time about whether these documents were going to get to the enemy and if that's what he intended.
Right. And he could speak to his motivation just narrowly on that fact, but not the wider significance of his action to get this information to the public, right?
Right. It's very narrowly tailored the way he's going to be allowed to argue it come trial.
What do we know about Bradley Manning and his spirits? I know there was a lot of concern about his physical and mental health, given that he was in isolation, without clothes for many hours at a time, on a suicide watch. He's been in prison now for more than 1,000 days. What do we know about how Bradley Manning is holding up?
Right. For the first 10 months or so of his detention, he was in solitary confinement, and it was clear that solitary confinement is terrible for anyone's psyche, and it was having an effect on him. But now that he's been, after international outcry, he's been moved to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and he's in medium security and much better conditions. And from everything we've seen in court, he's in impressively great spirits. He read his statement. He was articulate, passionate, and very clear, and seems to want to fight this case tooth and nail. So it's been pretty inspiring to see that.
Now, I had read that he had written a 35-page or longer explanation of his actions that he had wanted to read in the court. How many pages was he allowed to read in court when it came to the pretrial hearing last week?
Ultimately, he was allowed to read the full statement, and BradleyManning.org has a transcript that we took down just by being there, because the government has yet to release that document. They have not made very many documents public in this case, and for a long time they made none at all. But just last week they started releasing some of the judge's rulings. But now we do have access to that, and we have a transcript of Bradley's statement at BradleyManning.org.
Oh, that's good. So we'll mention the website again before we say goodnight, but BradleyManning.org, a lot of information there, including this transcript of Bradley Manning's statement last Thursday. That's good. What are your plans at this point in terms of garnering public support for Bradley Manning, and how could that translate to helping him in this military court-martial?
Sure. So just last weekend, before this latest pretrial hearing, we had a really successful event. We internationally marked Bradley's 1,000th day in jail, and we had over 70 cities register events with rallies, live performances, marches, all kinds of events in countries across the world marking his 1,000th day. We had as far and wide as South Korea, Uganda, Australia, all over Europe, and in dozens of U.S. cities were holding rallies. And we're hoping to replicate that on a much larger scale on June 1st, just ahead of his trial on June 3rd, especially at Fort Meade, Maryland. We want to really descend on Fort Meade and make it known that the public supports Bradley Manning, and it's not going to be popular to convict him. So we're already getting ready for a big rally at Fort Meade in Maryland on June 1st.
Is Bradley Manning aware of this national and international support that he's gotten?
It's hard to tell exactly how much access he has to news and stuff at this point, but his lawyer is in contact with him and in touch with him and has let him know that he has this kind of support We have this website a tangent of our site that's iam.bradleymanning.org, where people post their photos of them saying, "I am Bradley Manning," and his lawyer said he goes to that almost every day and told Bradley about it. So I think that must have helped him keep in good spirits.
But in terms of the public support out in the world, is there any way that sort of seeps into the courtroom? I'm just wondering if you think public opinion has anything to do with what the military court will ultimately do.
Well, that's our goal. Our goal is to have the judge and those who are prosecuting and sentencing him feel that this guy has suffered enough. I mean, he's been in jail for it'll have been over 3 years when the court martial starts, 9-10 months of that in this oppressive conditions, and their example has been set, and our goal is to make them believe that they don't need to set a further example, that that Bradley Manning doesn't need any more confinement.
We're speaking with Nathan Fuller, and he's working with the Bradley Manning Support Network, and we're talking about the latest developments in the Bradley Manning case in military court at Fort Meade last Thursday. And Nathan, I know your organization is in touch with Daniel Ellsberg, who's quite outspoken in his support of Bradley Manning. And given the fact that, Daniel Ellsberg's role in the Pentagon Papers case, often compared to what Bradley Manning did here, is quite powerful, given Ellsberg's total support. He speaks quite he's a great admirer. Can't get that word out, but yeah, he's one of Bradley Manning's great admirers, and that's some powerful stuff, right?
It's very powerful. He says, "I was Bradley Manning," and that Bradley Manning is now him. They he sees them as having just about the same roles, except that Bradley Manning now is facing a much bigger national security state with millions more documents made classified, and Daniel Ellsberg was lucky to not face the prison sentence that Bradley's facing now, but Ellsberg's support has been really impressive and incredibly strong throughout this nearly 3 years.
Who are some of the other prominent supporters that have stepped up to work with your committee in supporting the defense?
Well, closely we've had people like Michael Moore, Ann Wright, who was a colonel and who resisted the Iraq War and resigned from the military. We have fellow whistleblowers like Thomas Drake, John Kiriakou, and Jesslyn Radack. About all of the third-party presidential candidates supported Bradley Manning across the political spectrum, from Ron Paul to Roseanne Barr to Jill Stein. All of the third-party candidates supported Bradley Manning. So while it's not necessarily a mainstream issue, we do certainly have big name, big profile people who care about Bradley Manning and want to make a difference, want to help him out.
Is there any polling available on how the American people generally feel about the Bradley Manning case, one way or the other?
I haven't seen a national poll, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's shifted and lately. I think the statement is going to help a lot of people understand that this is not a traitor. This is a kind of guy they would want with them, who wants to expose the abuses that are going on around him and wants to make the world a better place. But I haven't seen national polls. I haven't seen figures, but I would be interested to see how it's changed over these couple of years.
Nathan, I'm not sure you can comment on this, but I know there was some news accounts of at least part of Bradley Manning's statement that seemed a little bit critical of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks in terms of the relationship he had with Assange and the organization. Can you shed any light on that?
I'm not sure which parts exactly you're mentioning, and I can't speak for him, but he was speaking online in chat logs and things like that with people he assumed were WikiLeaks representatives, but couldn't be sure who they were. So, yeah, I'm not sure which part exactly you'd want me to comment on.
Well, I think there was one line in his statement last Thursday that talked about the sincerity or the genuineness of the relationship he had with Julian Assange, you know what I'm referring to? I don't have it in front of me. But.
Yeah, he was talking to an online personality that was Nathaniel. I think Nathaniel Frank was the alias, and he wasn't sure if that was Assange's or if it was Daniel Domscheit-Berg or another WikiLeaks representative. But he said that they had a very long relationship online. They were talking a lot about very different matters, and then he said over time it became clear that that Bradley got a lot more out of it than the person on the other end did, and that might be a function of the other person just wanting to get information, to get documents. But it's kind of hard to tell without seeing those chat logs themselves.
Right. Well, does this affect the possible prosecution of Julian Assange in terms of the information that Bradley Manning released about his role, is pretty much solo role in getting the documents to WikiLeaks, rather than some theories that WikiLeaks put Bradley Manning up to this release?
Right, and one element of a potential indictment would be that it would be if Assange had sought certain documents or had pressured or egged Bradley Manning on to release documents. But in Bradley's statement, he says, no one from WikiLeaks pressured me. This is solely my decision, and I take full responsibility. So if that does come into play, that'll be a useful piece of evidence.
Yeah, I mean, Julian Assange is still on the Ecuadorian embassy in London, right? But that's, of course, on another related and unrelated matter in terms of the sexual abuse charges in Sweden, right? But
right.
There's a concern that if he goes to Sweden, the U.S. will extradite him from there to charge him in this case, right?
Right, and actually there are not yet charges, or are not any charges against him. They just merely say they want him for questioning.
Right, right.
Although they won't do that over the phone, which has raised some suspicions.
Right. Well, I guess we'll see how this all plays out in terms of Julian Assange. But, of course, the more important matter you're focused on is Bradley Manning himself. So, Nathan, thanks so much for spending time with us. And leave our listeners the websites they can go to get more information about what you're doing and how they can lend a hand if they want to in terms of the support work you're doing.
Sure. It's bradleymanning.org. We have lots of info about how to get involved and how to contact us. So. Yeah, bradleymanning.org.
Well, thanks again. You provide a lot of illumination on this ongoing case, important case, and I hope we can talk to you again soon about this.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
That's Nathan Fuller with the Bradley Manning Support Network talking to us about the latest developments in the Bradley Manning case.